What's up, man?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the house of Larry Lamont's, where you always will receive a double helping of justice and truth. Come on in. She's so glad to be with you tonight. I'm going to be frank. We're talking about things that occurred in the news today. Some, you know, for weeks. But we got to deal with those issues. Those topics, and for some people it may turn you off if that's not the show you want to hear. It's not a lighthearted show. Then pass this show on and come back on Monday. We'll be glad to see you, but we're going to deal with the issues that's happened, like in Moscow, happened in Gaza, and around the world, because we have to. So, first of all, I'm going to start off by giving our heartfelt well wishes to the Princess of Wales, Kate, and the royal family. That she reported today that she was suffering from a form of cancer, which I thought it had to be a little bit more than what she was saying when she was talking about having abdominal surgery. There's numerous things that happen in that area that you need surgery. But many times it's with the bowel or with the intestine. And you just have to do just like with Jamie Foxx when he's talking about how he felt and his symptoms to know that probably he suffered a stroke or it had stroke-like symptoms. And there are other diseases that mimic it, but I was the first one to say that. So King Charles and Sarah Ferguson, the royal family, have all reported cancer diagnosis this year. And so they all have our well wishes. And to see people give for them hell over photos and so forth, I could care less if they airbrush a photo or want to take a lot of a dress or so. Who gives a hoot? If that's the most important thing to you in your life is, did somebody have makeup on to conceal something? You think they got a black eye because might have been fighting with the husband, or so you got a bad and a sick life. Well, let's move on. The second thing that we're talking about is the major news in Moscow, as I predicted what's going to happen there. A number of ways, I'll tell you about that. And that's where at a theater, a concert, it sounds like they say it's at a mall or something like that, says that gunmen came in, four gunmen with long guns, and start shooting, and have killed at least 40 people and wounded at least 140 people. And CNN just reported that about 60 people might have died from fires that was set in the building and the roof collapse. So they died from the results of the fire and not gun fire. But it's reported that ISIS, a group that I told you been quiet for a long time, and I liked that and wanted to keep it that way, that it wasn't going to stay that way when you're dealing with people like Putin and you're dealing with Netanyahu, that you're going to have more and more so-called terrorist groups going to come out of hiding or out of seclusion and do acts of terrorism. Or they call it revenge or striking back, just like maybe they think that it's happening in Gaza and Israel with the Jews, which we're going to talk on that subject matter also. They didn't pay me any heed on that. The United States better watch out. I don't want to go where there's a lot of people because of the nutcases, the copycats, as I call them. So I won't be there. Now, we're going to get on some major topics. You know, I was talking about that show 911 last night and spoke about it before. I can't see how anybody could possibly write such a bad strip. And it's going on again next week. Continuation of it. Do they actually know how to get out of the situation they're in? And that's what we're talking about with a lot of these situations in Gaza, in Moscow, in the Ukraine, in Washington, you know, with spring break, they just found Riley Strange's body. And that's something that I want to speak about. The chief of police says that he doesn't feel there's any sinister thing that occurred to Mr. Strain. And I'm questioning some things along that line. I don't know about the typography. I don't know about exactly where he was found. But the fact that his credit card was found and by two young ladies that said that they found it sticking out of dirt, which I think is a little hard for a credit card to be impounded and be on top of the dirt, not covered. And I'm wondering, do they not know how to do research and forensic work? And the way that they call in about finding the card, wow, we found a card. We found a card. To me, it seemed almost like it was acting. Now, I'm just saying myself, they would have to show me, you know, they would be on a suspect list. For me, if I was chief or the prosecutor. Because why would you go down and find a card that's not sparkling, not shining? You just went down, I see something down there, and it's a card, and it's not even on the ground. It's stuck somewhere, and you got to pry it apart. Say, here it is, Eureka, and look who it belonged to. It reminds me of, you know, the dog walker that was walking the dog and was shot and had the dog stolen. And then people call, we found your dogs. Well, they found out that that was something there that they thought she was a fool on a mission. So with Mr. Riley, I'm wondering how did he get to the river? And where are their bridges? You got to find out there. Could they have fallen off a bridge? You're not going to just walk into the river, probably. Even drunk. Unless he tried to commit suicide. Then he gets so despondent because he was kicked out the bar of the tavern that he jumped in the river. Or was he helped in the river? Those are things that you have to look at. And that's done by forensic. You got to check the body, clothing, just to come and say, well, we found them and there's nothing illegal went on. You don't know that yet. You don't accuse anybody, but you say, thank you. Don't leave town. They found, and it could have been me if I had found it. They say, thank you, sir. Don't leave town. Well, see, I think with my record, probably, no, I didn't do it, no, and so forth. I didn't do anything. But when you have a situation like that, you just can't let it slide and say, well, we're not going to do anything about it. It's easy to murder somebody that's drunk. He couldn't even stand up. He was running into the wall. He tripped and fell and so forth. So it's easy to manhandle him. Even two women to manhandle him. So we're going to get off that, but I just think that it needs a more thorough investigation before you close the case. Is that it was an accident and he fell into the river. We got a case here like that with a young black man that went across the river to supposedly the white section of the area in the sister city. But his body was found in the river. And they said that some people that saw him running from people while he was there. Well, people considered that, and especially in the black community, that he probably was murdered. And for years, that was said, and a white author came here and wrote a book on it. I won't give the name of the book, but now they say that, yeah, he probably was murdered. You just can't say a situation, he just fell. Like with me, they'll say, he fell in the river. Yeah, he lost it. You know, he's old. Not too bright. Yeah, he can't see. Yeah, he fell in the river. If you believe that, that's why I tell you these people, what they tell you about me, that's bad. So we hope that they do a thorough investigation of that. And anybody else that happens to have a similar thing happen to them on spring break there. Now, situation that we're going to talk about, the border. We're going to talk about Gaza. We're going to talk about the war in Ukraine and Moscow, Russia. I'm going to talk about the border first. I just watched a whole bunch of migrants push uniform police or soldiers out of the way that had weapons, guarding the gate, standing there, not worried about them, tearing the gate up right in front of the officers, and the officers telling them not to do it, and the officers too scared or don't know what to do. And didn't put his gun upside the sucker's head. I sure would have. See, this is the second time I've seen these types of things. You know, we saw that in with the January insurrection. I said, if one of the cops had taken a shotgun and shot in the air, all of them been running over each other. Peeing on themselves. Wouldn't been no police officers hurt. That when they got in to the Capitol. But they play games with them, pushing and shoving, pushing. You ain't going to push me before I'm going to put my pistol on you or my baton. If you want to fight, we're going to fight. So when the situation here, there at the border, they push their way in with big grins on their face, like, you ain't going to do nothing to me. I want to say another word. They're not afraid of you. That's like a kid talking back to his mother or his father. They know you ain't going to do nothing to them. So they laugh at you when you tell them you can't go out. Or don't take my keys and get in the car. They're going to do what they want to do. They laugh because they know you ain't going to bust a grape. That's the old saying in the community. Now, I told you about the insurrection. There was that one black guard that ran. He was holding them off in the stairwell. Then all of a sudden, he decided to run. He put his baton on the floor. He never really pulled his weapon, as far as I can remember. He didn't hold them off. He ran. And everybody said, he need to get the Nobel Prize. He need to get this and that. And I said, no, he don't. He didn't do his job. Because he had the high ground, which is what you want if you're in the military or the police. You want that. You don't want to be on the low ground. So all he had to do was the one with them horns on his head, that other little one coming wanting to show how bad he is, kick him in the chin. The rest of them would have turned around and ran. He didn't have to be the one that ran. Running them through the building where they really don't want them to go. Everybody saw that, said, oh my God, he's a hero. He's a hero. I told you, no, he's not. They waste no time telling you, no, he's not. They even try to play him up there in the Congress, having him come, special guest. They're supposed to be striking gold coins in his honor. Ain't none of that's happening now. Why? They probably have met and said, actually, we got some question about how you did your job and the lack of doing your job. Because if you had to, you should have shot some people. You should not have let them take your weapon. You should not have put your weapon on the ground. And you should not have let them make you back up. You back them up. And sheesh. If that's putting a bullet in one of them, the one in the front, do that. You gonna let somebody take your pistol and shoot you with it? Then shoot congressmen and the vice president and his family? That's sick. No. They gave their life away when you broke in this place, just like the woman did when she came through that window and got shot, I believe, could have been a Secret Service agent and was shot in the neck. And died. She gave her life away. I would have shot too. You know you don't come through the window or the door. The door is locked. You can't come in. When you coming through that window, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you. Houston, we got a problem. He was the only one that showed any balls, any sense. And he didn't get in trouble about it. Nobody questioned him really about it. And everybody said, well, she should not have played herself like that. And she would still be alive today. So those migrant people that some we know are terrorists, not talking like Trump. We do know that some of those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, some are members of the cartel. Some are mules with drugs on them. Some bringing illegal weapons into the country. Of course they're going to push past you and keep running if you don't have balls to stop them. Or if you're a woman or whatever. But put your pistol on them. Whatever you got, show them what you're made of. You know, like I talked about Angela Bassett, when she played the Queen of Wakanda, she said, show them what you're made of. Sheesh. And that's the thing here. When these officers who evidently are not getting the training that they're supposed to get, they will never show anybody what they're made of. We will be overrun. We will be invaded by people who are too scared to fire a shot in the air. You can't be afraid to fire your weapon. You can't be afraid to pull your weapon. Most police officers go their career and never have to fire their weapon. Now it's a little hard that they probably have to pull their weapon, but never fire it. And never, if they fire, hit somebody. But if it comes to that, you want to go home at night. You want your partner to go home at night. You want bystanders not to be hurt. You want somebody to take your weapon and take your car and everything else because you a poo butt. You're too afraid to do anything. So this shows that our training of military personnel, our training of border police officers, our training of Capitol police officers and probably other special officers around Washington, D.C. need to be upgraded. And they should know. Shoot to kill if you need to. Don't, you will have to explain yourself, and you're going to have to explain yourself because you could be held for murder if you're too stupid that you're just going to shoot somebody standing there. You don't spray the whole thing. It's just a few up there was doing it. Then everybody else followed them because you did nothing. If you had took that first one that thought he was bad and put that pistol in his mouth, he would have stopped right then. Wouldn't have been no grinning. He would have understood that. He would have, no speak English, he would have spoke English very well. Sheesh. So that's part of the proposal that I'm saying that needs to be done on the border. They need to be given strict control over stopping people from going through that gate. If you're standing there, you're not going to walk through me. You're not going to push your way through me. You're not going to go around me. I remember the one officer on the horse and the guy just running. He's trying to stop. He just grinning, and he's trying to hit him, and he's just grinning. Well, it's not fun and games. They may think it is because he know you ain't going to do nothing to him. That all he got to do is keep running and he going to be picked up by somebody in the car, driven somewhere to do whatever he was brought in the country. So my proposals that I have, I think that the Border Patrol need to have the right to do like Ellis Island did years ago. There need to be a building that could house probably 500 people with bedrooms, showers, food, facilities, of course, restrooms. So when you bring people in, they are booked and processed. Families are not broken up. They can stay in the same bedroom. I don't care if it's 15 of you, 15 going in the same bedroom. Get out who gets the bed, who gets the chair. But you're going to deal with the schedule you're told to deal with by the United States government and Border Patrol. That would have been the first thing that we should do. We shouldn't let them get on a bus and go into the interior of the country and travel all over, or say, well, you got to go to a homeless center. No, we should have the place where you're going to be processed and you're not going anywhere because the doctor is going to check to see if you're not bringing in any communicable diseases. You're not bringing in anything such as bugs, insects, and so forth, which will have it on our fruit and vegetables or livestock. Sheesh. That's what they need to do. They're too scared. They're pussyfooting around about, let's build a fence. Damn the fence. They coming. If you coming, we going to deal with you. One way or the other. And if you can't be dealt with, then you're going to be dealt with. So it's not that I'm violent. I'm just not scared. And I know you ain't going to hurt me and harm me. I'm not going to allow you to hurt what hit a hair on my head. You know, that's why I'm saying that officer in the Capitol standing there on the stairwell, he got the high ground. The guy approaching him, stop, halt, stop, halt. If he had to fire up in the air, he hit the ceiling. I don't care if he hit a painting of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. This is time to be serious. Maybe they can patch that up at your behind up if you're dead. Well, maybe the undertaker can. Make you look better than you did in real life. But stop, halt. He didn't. All he had to do was hit him with that baton one time on the head. That little sucker showed that he was scary. He would have run. He didn't have to run. The officer didn't have to go nowhere. Everybody hit the floor. The one that didn't hit the floor kept approaching me would have been shot. That's how you handle that. Sheesh. These people don't understand how to do the job. I've worked security and seen security guards that let people run rampant through the say, don't you know that what you're doing is against company policy or is dangerous? Oh man, you don't like folks. It's not a matter of like folks. You don't open the door and let everybody come in to use the bathroom. You don't know somebody come, they're not going to, can I come in and use the bathroom? Huh? The security guard, you don't care. It's not your business that they got to pee. Go score around a tree or something. You ain't coming in here. You have opened the door for probably your death and my death too by some short woman with a short skirt on saying, can I come in and use the bathroom? I got to tinkle. And I can't do it out here. I don't care where you do it, you ain't doing it in here. See, but I have seen guards like that. And we are now hiring, our training program is so ramshot with inferior officers, and everybody's arguing about politics and schematics. Nobody is dealing with just simple application of the job. You don't get through me. You don't get by me. That's the job. I know for security, they hire old folks. They just said they just want a body, a warm body there. They don't care if you go to sleep on the job or so, just as long as you're there. And if you get up and hit the clock, when you're supposed to hit the clock, that's fine. That can't be done with the Secret Service. That can't be done with the Capitol Police, White House Police, and so forth. That they say, well, you're trying to get into the White House, and I'm going to let you get through me to get in. They have shot folks. They have done their job. You get through that gate, and they tell you, halt, you dead meat. So what I saw today, I really didn't appreciate that coming from Americans and people seeing that all over the world. Now all they're going to do is send their spies and their agents to come that way. No, it ain't nothing going to happen to you. They're going to step aside and let you come in. You know, some of those guards at the Capitol, let them in the doors. And some of the state capitals, they let them in the doors with guns. So we got problems, folks. There's nothing funny. It's very serious. I'm going to make some other proposals along the lines. And that deals with Gaza. It deals with Israel. And this is not on the fighting, other than there need to be an immediate ceasefire. Our president and Secretary of State is just like those guards, too afraid to stand up to Netanyahu or Putin or whatever and let her know, no, you can't do that. You're not going to get away with that. You keep telling them every week, Netanyahu, you can't do that. Netanyahu, you can't do that. Netanyahu, you can't do. And he keeps doing it. You keep sending him money. Damn Netanyahu and the horse he rode to town on. If I told you once and told you twice, diplomatically, you should have sense enough to know it anyway, because of the world court, humanitarian laws that govern warfare, that you can't do everything you want to do in this world. You might want to kill up all the Palestinians. You might want to run them back like they had a song about to the river, to this or something like that. You running them to the river or whatever, you want to run them in hospitals and fighting here and there. But the main thing I'm seeing, you want to be in control of Palestine. You can't even control food distribution. If you can't pass out gruel and pass out soup and bread, how are you going to police and set up a government fairly for people? Now, it's very easy. I see people standing in line and they're pushing other people out of line and trying to take their bowl and so forth with their food. And the guards standing there doing nothing. All food should be done officially, whether by the Red Cross or by the Israeli military or the American military. You know, we're building a port there. They should allow us to make a few soup kitchens there. We're going to bring the soldiers to police it. Now you come in and try to take, if you want to, see if you go come and take one bag of flour out of that warehouse, out of that building. See if you go take one bag of sugar out of there. Dare you. If you want to come stand in line like everybody else and act like you got good sense. You're not going to be cutting in line, pushing children out of the line, taking old folks' food and stuff. We're not going to let you do it. That's the first thing that Biden should let them know. We want to set up three or four soup kitchens there in the area where it's needed. We will feed so many mouthful a day. But we're in charge of it. You're not. We're going to control it. You don't. I doubt we have to shoot anybody. If you know how to direct people, you take your megaphone and you speak in their native tongue and you tell them, line up. You know what? Every one of them know what a line is. No pushing. If you push, you'll be taken out of the line. If you keep showing you're behind, you're going to be arrested. You see how easy that's handled? It doesn't take a mental giant to know how to handle food distribution. We have professionals cooking the food. They're eating it. They're sitting at tables like human beings and eating. give them something to take home, or some to families who can't get out, who may be sick, so that they can take something home and have them watch, so people don't take it, their food from them, especially from children that come to get water, to get fuel, to get the humanitarian aid that's coming in, which the amount of aid that needs to come in is not allowed to come in. We can stop that right away. We let them know, start next week, we're coming in. Now I want you to hit me. I want you to shoot me. We're coming in and we're going to start at the beginning and start putting up soup kitchens. We're going to try to put up temporary housing for some of those people so that they're not out in the elements. You're tearing up, we're going to build up. So that been on my mind. I'm seeing this happen and saying, don't they know? Are they that afraid of these people that they shooting at them with their hands in the air and waving white flags? They got to drop by parachute food. Hell, let the trucks come through. You're supposed to be bad. You can't control the folks and crowd that you got to have them dropping care packages from the space station? Huh? How much sense does that make? Makes none at all. If you're in control, then get in control now. Show your control face. Like I said, put your game face on. I want to see how you look when you look serious. When you want to show that you know what you're doing. But they don't do that. So those two things really bothered me when I saw the border and I saw the food distribution. Simple things. It's not something that difficult. You know, I like that film, Cabin in the Woods. I watch that every time it's on. And like they talk about sacrifice to God's sacrifices, that it's not that difficult. All you do is get you a fancy knife and some robes. It ain't that difficult. So whatever you want to do, your job is, you just get the robes and the fancy knives, whatever it represents. That means if you serve a soup, you get a soup ladle, you get a soup pot, you get the ingredients to make soup. But you don't need people come and knock the soup bowl over because they're rowdy fighting and want to tell and say, well, I'm going to get me two bowls of soup instead of one. You say, one bowl per person. Now, they may be able to come back through, but you go now. I say, give me two. You better get out of line or you're going to be in trouble. This is how you handle a situation. So we're going to get off that subject, but those things bothered me, and it is something that's simple for a president, simple for a secretary of state. Netanyahu should be able to do that. If he can't do that, he's not going to be able to run the Palestinian people's business. If you can't pass out soup and bread, you're not going to be able to take care of their security and have them live like decent human beings. They haven't been living the way for years anyway. The lifestyle that you had them living under, the conditions. We're getting down now to Donald Trump. It's just like I told you last week. When he first ran, he got down to the last week or so. And all his friends that had money left him. pulling money out because he was so silly and so stupid they thought they were going to lose anyway. They weren't going to put any more money in. Well, now Donald Trump owes money for whether you call it a security bond or whatever you want to call it. But he had to put up, what, $400 million? He don't have that to put up. They say, well, his son got $1 billion from Arab nations. He ain't fronting him no money. None of Trump's rich friends fronting him no money. It's just like Shark Tank. They look at that and they say, we're not interested in it. We don't want to get any return on our money. The people know Trump don't pay his bills. They know that he stiffs his partners. They know that he got psychological problems. So what are they going to do? Not give him any money. So eventually he may be able to get some, but the state of New York is getting ready to confiscate a property and start selling it. Now, there's one interesting thing, though. They just said Trump don't own Trump Tower, said that he's renting it. He's running it. He's not the owner of it. His name is on the building. So they ain't going to be able to sell Trump Tower if he don't own Trump Tower. They could take his assets, his furniture and copy machines and typewriters and computers and his pencil sharpeners, all that they can take. Go in the kitchen and get all the kitchen equipment. But the building they can't touch as far as knowing law, because that belongs to someone else. That's not a party of the lawsuit against them. They doing business with Trump. Trump is more interested in arguing with Jimmy Kimmel and others over stupid things that the people listening to him say, now this is the guy that just come and asked me to lend him $400 million or lend him $20 million to trust him. And he's on here playing a dozen with somebody on live television. He can't go to sleep because he's tweeting 400 times a night. Worse than a little tween girl arguing over some boy. But he wants $50 million. He's not going to get it, folks. He's in a hell of a condition because they can't control him. He won't keep his mouth closed. Melania came out. You know, I was talking about her and how she didn't show up. She came out to show that she's a good American and show that she vote. That's the only thing. So she was with the Donald as they went to vote. But don't look like she was happy. It didn't look like it was a festive occasion. Now they're talking about Barron, the youngest Trump, turned 18. And now news sources want to talk about him, saying that he's fair game. Depending on what he does, we'll make him fair game. If you act like Lyndon Johnson's daughter, or if you act like Ronald Reagan's son and daughter, you're fair game. And sheesh. They did some hell of a things. And they're still doing hell of a things. You know, Ronald Reagan's son, Ronnie, he's doing atheist commercials. And I'll burn in hell. I have no problem. That's what Ronald Reagan had to deal with when he was alive. and Nancy Reagan. So if he got to be 18 years old and running around talking about he believed in Satan and he wanted to worship the devil, or he don't believe in Satan, so he don't believe he'll be punished for nothing he does wrong, somebody gonna talk about it. So Barron has to keep his nose to the grindstone, as he has been. Keep a low profile. 6 feet tall and so forth, it's hard to do. I know. But he'll be all right. He'll weather the storm. They're probably going to talk about him, saying he should be playing some basketball as tall as he is. I wish I was that star. I've been in the NBA. It's huge. And all the fame, but I'm 5'8". So, nice looking young man. I don't think that he appreciates what his father does. But what can you do to your father? So people shouldn't make him responsible for what Senior does. Let him, he's not the one tweeting at midnight, 400 tweets, talking about Barron. Ain't that something? 17 or 18, he's not tweeting. His daddy is tweeting, playing the dozen with everybody. I know who I am, but what is you? Sheesh. We're about ready to get up and get out of here. We got a few more minutes. If you want to call, be sure to call and say your little ditty, you know. We want to know what you're interested in, and we want you to hit that bell so you get notified. We want you to become a subscriber. We want you to join the Larry Lamont Fan Club. I'm not a big measure of fan clubs, especially for myself, but that's something they offer, a perk. So I'll set it up for you guys. If you want to be involved in it, you can. I'm going to start some programs for people that participate and does something. You may just call in. And who knows what you may win or may be the prize. Might not give you nothing but a thank you so kindly. But, you know, we are going to do some great things with this program. Nobody else is doing great things with programs like the House of Larry Lamont's. They try to copy us. Everybody now wants to do serious podcasts. They never heard of podcasting. So they were at the tavern, at the titty bars and all that. When they heard me, when I came on and started doing mine, now they say, hell, I can do that too. They got money enough to get the good equipment. They got money enough to get a studio. And then sponsors sponsor them. If you want to sponsor the House of Larry Lamont, oh, we could cut up. We could have the best shows in the world. We're doing real well with what we got. And happy with it. Like I said, the Lord is blessing me. I'm doing pretty good. I made that seafood boil like I told you the other day. Man, that's good. Woo-wee. I want to have all types of shows. I want to have a cooking show. One of the top chefs in the world today is Larry Lamont. These people talk and say things, you know, just like I heard on Jeopardy this week. They said the term bling come from Lil Wayne. No, it did not. I was talking about bling before Lil Wayne was born. They talk about my jewelry and say and so forth like that. When I told you I had my jewelry and stuff and watches and rings on and cufflinks and so forth. And they said, boy, you gleaming. I said, I ain't nothing but a little bling. And I always said things twice, deliberately. And I played that way with my sister. And they tell you, I say things twice. Just like winking the eye, instead of saying wink, I say wink, wink. Now they say wink, wink. If you look, they say wink, wink. Where do you think they come from? Les Lamans. So when I said bling, I said, ain't nothing but a little bling, bling. Ain't nothing but a little bling, bling. Sheesh. That before anybody ever heard of Lil Wayne. I would say that on AOL and so forth. Matter of fact, before I got on AOL, I was saying in the street to the people, said, man, you sharp today. Oh, man, ain't nothing. There's just something I just throwed on, like they say. Just a little bling, bling. It don't mean nothing. And they crack up. We all crack up. It was something. It was a good thing. I don't want no cheap jury. That's why they wanted to come in and steal all my stuff. I had a mean watch collection. I got some good expensive watches that was on sale. While others was going to the titty bar and buying beer and whiskey and lottery tickets, I bought the watches. Everybody looked at me and see my wrist and said, let me look at the floor. It looked just like any of those things those rockers had. Well, that's what these people here wanted. So they come and they broke in the house and the police won't keep them out because they want to get a cut of it. They know what I had. They saw it. I remember I told you that guy that come back when I was at the Salvation Army. He come in, he had a handful of money. He was passing money out, a wad full of money. Where do you think he got a wad full of money? He didn't rob a place. Went there and stole my stuff and fenced it. And didn't give me a dollar. Gave all the cons, all of them were cons. I was the only one there wasn't a con. I wasn't an addict. But we need to be able to have this program. The things that we said tonight, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Show me I'm wrong. I don't see where I'm wrong at. I see that I'm saying things that maybe you don't like the way I said it, but there's no way to say it differently. You come at me the wrong way, I'm a police officer or a border guard, I'm going to shoot you. If you're going to harm me, you don't listen to me. If I do nothing but put that butt of that rifle on your head, something's going to give. The rifle on your head. So they need to be trained. They need to be trained on, are they afraid to hear the gun? You got some people don't like to hear, so they got those ear canceling devices on when they go to the gun range. They don't want to hear the gun fire. You're in the wrong business. They couldn't do that to Pappy. Oh, no, they wouldn't play with Pappy like that. And they wouldn't play with me like that. And if I was president, they wouldn't be playing, because I would tell them, anybody that got that mind, we're going to run scenarios. I want you to make some computer programs. I want you to, on our mock-up of towns and buildings, I want you to, let's see how they handle a situation. When will they fire? When will they not fire? I don't want somebody just to say when I'm going to the gun range, I'm going to shoot at somebody because they look like they got a gun, so I'm going to shoot them. No. When we got actors acting like they're going to take over your post, run through your line of defense, what are you going to do? As I said, the first thing you do is shoot in the air. to pull a weapon. They don't listen, then you shoot in the air. Just like I tell you about Red Fox, told Slappy White, whatever, Melvin, he'd lend him some money and say, well, Slappy, where that $20 you owe me? You been going to pay me. Man, I'll pay you when I get ready. Quit bothering me about that money. Said Red Fox, got a bullet and throwed at him, and he caught the bullet. He said, now the next one to come a little faster. Sheesh. Yes, indeed. You got to let that be the case. I'm going to see how quickly they implement these programs that I just said. I ain't telling Moscow how to do a damn thing over there. Putin know how to do everything. Figure it out yourself. Sheesh. But I told them how to handle the border and how to handle Gaza. I told them several times. They don't even know how to make peace. You got to, first of all, meet, get a group together, both sides, and who's going to be represented for all sides? Who's going to mediate it? And then meet. I put a lot of that problem on the United States. They put that in their mind that they were going to do that, Biden. And he has not done either. That's not sending Blinken or the Secretary of Defense over there and think that's to do it. I mean, send the diplomats. They're supposed to be on the peace accord group. Sit down and you tell what you want and they tell what they want and I'll give you this, you give me that. Let's have a ceasefire for a week. Okay, let's see how that goes. Nothing. We got people that don't know what they're doing. I'm going to watch that Shirley Chisholm movie. Come on, it starts tonight. And Regina King playing Shirley Chisholm. I told you, I hope they got history right. I know they don't. But I'm interested in seeing how they played it because I know exactly what she said. What happened, what I did. What was in the news and in the press, and then what she did the next week. And then said, yeah, he just jumped the gun. Who was she talking about? She was talking about me. So would you not think that I should be in the movie? Somebody playing me? Who gonna play me? Tom Cruise? Leo DiCaprio. Sheesh. I don't know. It could be Jamie Foxx. You know, when you saw Jamie Foxx played the president of the United States, had on the glasses, it kind of reminded me of myself there. I said, oh, shit. He don't look bad as a president. Then the Oval Office and getting on Marine One and so forth. I look pretty good. I saw myself because I had the same build and all that. So, he could play me, I imagine. Yeah, get Jamie. He needs a little work because he was off work for some time. Well, we're about ready to get out here for the day. We'll see you Monday. Pappy used to say, Reverend Cook said, I don't care what you think about me, but I love you an awful lot. And sheesh.